Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. As you can tell, I still have a strained throat, and things take time. Healing takes time. We all know that, right? Anyway, let me, before I get into really closing out the Bill of Rights, because we ended up on the 9th and 10th Amendment, and I wanted to give you the real importance to those amendments. But let me first kind of cover what we're going to be covering in the next few days building up to Christmas. The time is just flying. This was a very short time before Christmas, from Thanksgiving to, you know, shopping days and so forth. This is about the fastest you can get from Thanksgiving to Christmas. Anywho, the things that we're going to be coming up with or covering between now and Christmas will be the Christmas special, and we will rebroadcast that on Christmas Day. But we will also hopefully be having, by the end of the year, an interview with Mitchell Nicholas Gerber, because I want to dive into the concept of statehood. And as a matter of fact, I think I'm going to be probably pulling and talking to maybe Trevor Lawden as well as Alex Newman, talking about this concept. Now, not that these guys are necessarily constitutionalists, but these guys definitely understand the foreign policy and the what the heck's going on. Because bottom line, as long as we maintain this nationalism, as far as us against them, the Cold War, as long as we keep on holding on to the position of the Cold War, then there will be a continuance of more wars and so forth. If we shift the paradigm that the United States is now open to allowing all states to be a part of the United States as long as they're willing to conform to the United States. In other words, English conform to our monetary standards and so forth, as well as comply religiously as well. In other words, we do not want states coming in as theocracies trying to make, and when I mean a theocracy, there's a difference when the states in the colonies and the independent states of the Constitutional Republic that had state-sponsored churches, that was different than a theology. Even though you may have a state-sponsored church, the role of the church was strictly to take care of the education, compassionate services, and so forth. And so bottom line is that is not a theology. That is not something that is driving doctrine and so forth, especially a closed theology like Islam. So anyway, these things, I believe, are real fulcrums in using as leverage against the communist colonists that are, or I should say, the conquest of communism that are still alive and well in both Russia as well as China, Cuba not so much, North Korea. The rest of these small states are literally just puppets, and they are rogue states that operate and function at the behest of their master, whether that be Russia, China, what have you. Anyway, we also want to, prepare you. We hope to have the New Year's goals for you as we lead right into the New Year's. That way you can, listen and figure out what you need to do to become more successful for this coming year. And so with that, one of the things I haven't pointed out in a long time is we do have a listen line. If you cannot stream and or sit at your desk and or, be near a radio if you're receiving the broadcast over the airwaves, then you just need to dial this number so that you can catch these shows, 605-562-4209. if you haven't noticed, we have not had time to get any podcast up because we're going through with the IT department that I have and all the other things that are on my plate. I don't have the time to do the IT migration that we need to do in moving on to, you know, better platforms and some of the other things that we need to do since we've started doing radio shows and so forth. Because it's time. You know, you have to, you don't want to. I actually worked at a radio station that, and this was just a few years back, that they were still dependent on Windows 95 for the functioning of their broadcasting and everything else. I go, you got to be kidding me. And so I was not necessarily enamored with the fact that they were broadcasting my show and ended up leaving them because I just, you know, that's a problem waiting to happen. Anyway, let us go ahead and move forward because I do want to get into some of the marketing. But more importantly, I want to kind of close on the Bill of Rights and why, you know, I'm postulating this concept that we really don't need a Bill of Rights and what the important parts of the Bill of Rights were and why. Anyway, I'll get into that. We do have Red State Coffee as our sponsor, and we would request that you consider purchasing a couple of pounds of Red State Coffee to give to your neighbors as well as to consume yourself. We'd also ask that you take the time, give us a call, 425-270-5416, and let us know what you think. We believe that you will find that Red State Coffee is a premium quality coffee, and you know it's worth the money. I believe the shipping's free. And so last time I looked, the shipping was free. And for this time of year, you know, that may be good. But more importantly, you are supporting a movement, you're supporting a cause that actually is offering the tangible solution in saving our constitutional republic. So anyway, and I don't know if I gave you the number for the dial-in, you know, the age might be stepping in here. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org and you can get the link to the coffee on eBay. And the dial-in number is 605-562-4209. Now, just to confuse you, the comment line, our comment line is 425-270-5416. And then I should start throwing out our DC numbers and all the other numbers. But anyway, that's okay. We are growing, and we do appreciate those of you who've tuned in and continue to tune in. Thank you very much. And those of you who have helped this show grow, we would ask that everybody, you know, kind of pay it forward, because the paying it forward is for liberty for our posterity. This is not a... this is not a money-making show. When Republic Review really starts, I hope to not be doing this. As a matter of fact, that's a different dialogue and a different conversation I've been trying to have with some other people in getting things in place so that you know where to go regarding what is going on with Republic Review, especially once it becomes out in the public and becomes, you know, in the face of the globalists, because when you see this, when we get to this point where the globalists will actually recognize that there is a very tangible threat to their plan, they're not going to take this lying down. That's why this is so important. They are in the position of seizing control of the world. You cannot think that they are going to just accept this lying down. There are reasons why. We, you know, don't necessarily disclose everything, but we try to keep you abreast with the great, you know, the great progress that we have and so forth. But until, you know, and I'll tell you, you'll know when we've become a blip on the radar with the globalists and the enemy is when all of a sudden Red State Talk Radio is attacked by China. When Red State Talk Radio, you know, is forced to either, you know, they get so many complaints about me that they, you know, forced to take me off the air. And so Those types of things are real because people do not want this message getting out. They don't want a real tangible solution. They want you to complain. They love it with the fact that you are just frustrated and you're just buying into, you know, the Hannity Levin and all the different books that have nothing to do with really getting the federal government back into compliance. Our problems stem completely from noncompliance to the Constitution. That is it. And the only entities that are capable of obtaining compliance are the states because it is their contract. And so this goes to a conversation I had regarding state rights and the state's authority and checks and balances and so forth. And so I'm running out of time, so I don't want to dive into that. So let me plug it one more time. Red State Coffee at reclaimingtherepublic.org. Just follow that link and you can get your Red State Coffee there. And the dial-in number for listening to this show, if you cannot stream or receive via the radio, 605-562-4209. That's our listen line. It's actually good quality sound on a listen line. That's out in South Dakota. So the good patriots of South Dakota are keeping this message going out. So anyway, when we come back, I'm going to dive into the 9th and 10th Amendments and why these two amendments are so important and give you the history and the background to this. So when we come back, we will talk about that after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so first off, I really glossed over these two amendments. The ninth, and these are very short and concise and succinct amendments. The Ninth Amendment is the enumeration in the Constitution. What does that mean? The listing in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. In other words, if there's an enumeration of a right within the Constitution, then it does not mean that it disparages and takes away or denies the citizens of their rights. The rights of the citizens prevail and trump the Constitution. Now, we're talking about very fundamental rights, like the rights of speech, religious expression, those inalienable rights, not necessarily, you know, a right of access 24/7 and some of those types of things. I have a right to be able to do this. That doesn't give the people, the ability, because what that does is that creates anarchy when we allow the people to whimsically, decide that they want something different. We are a nation of laws, and the rule of law must prevail. And obviously that wasn't the case yesterday regarding the impeachment. Yeah, as a matter of fact, it doesn't matter. As I said yesterday in our previous episode, the process of impeachment is a process that is twofold. There is the grand jury, which is the House of Representatives, and they're the ones that want to, bring forward a crime. Now, the two things that they brought forward as crimes were not, and I emphasize this, were not actual crimes. They may have been construed as that, but they were not treason, bribery, and or trees, or high crimes or misdemeanors. They, as a matter of fact, based on what they said, because the Supreme Court actually ruled that Obama was guilty of abuse of power, therefore Obama should have been, because the Supreme Court had proved it, Obama should have been, if these hypocrites were, because they want to poke you in the eye for, you're being partisan. They've been nothing but partisan. And, when somebody wants to accuse you of something, I'll give you a great case in point. When a person that I knew passed away, and in the family, the immediate family, they started discussing how things were going to be done. They were discussing what was going to be done with the house. And these are the children. And one of the children said, well, I'd like to have the house, because they were passing out all of these things. Oh, well, you get the Hummer, and you get this, and you get this. And the one child said, I'd like to have the house. Well, all things aren't equal monetarily. And when you understand the estate, that's a huge chunk of money. And so, and if you understand probate and the estate, the personal belongings is one thing, but when it comes to real property, the law is that those things have to be divided. Well, anyway, long story short, when the other two stepped up and said, hey, that needs to be sold, then they said, oh, you only care about the money. Which means that the two that were conspiring to, keep the estate for themselves, that means that that's exactly what they were doing. When you get accused of a crime or outwardly accused that that's all you care about, 9 times out of 10, that's because that is the paradigm of the individual, because they tend to be shallow thinking people, myopic, and, that's how I'm thinking, so that must be how you're thinking. Like when somebody makes a comment about some, a crude, in the gutter type of comment, obviously that's where their heads are at. And so I've learned this a long time ago. My father taught me that whenever you point the finger at anybody, the finger of judgment, 9 times out of 10, and every time actually, there are, 3 to 4 fingers pointing back at you, that you're equally guilty of the same problem. Anyway, so let me go back to this whole concept of the rule of construction of the Constitution. Even though there may be rights, and down the road, the government may start presuming, here's a great example of rights of property. fundamental rights of property is if you own the land, if you own that, you own it in its entirety. Somehow down the road after the Civil War, they started taking away your mineral rights. And now they're taking away your water rights, the rights of your land, and anything and everything underneath your feet in that land is no longer yours. The state is claiming that they have the ability to take that back from you. That is in itself a disparaging and denial of your right of that property. And so, ergo, the Ninth Amendment would be applicable for you basically asserting that you have your mineral rights and water rights, that they can't take those away from you. And, oh, by the way, in Article 1, Section 9, and Section 10, the states and the federal government cannot pass laws that make something illegal if it's been legal. And ergo, mineral rights as well as water rights and so forth are your rights. And they're violating our fundamental rights in so many different ways, but that is just one case of how they're violating our rights. The Ninth Amendment basically is kind of like this overlaying reminder that the Constitution does not trump our individual rights that are inalienable, rights of property, rights of life, and those types of things. The Tenth Amendment is a little bit different because the Tenth Amendment identifies that the federal government has been delegated powers, and only those powers does it have the authority to operate. And the Tenth Amendment basically says this: the powers not delegated to the United States government by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, because in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 10, are the prohibits, are the restrictions that the Constitution places on the states. In other words, the states can't go into treaties and compacts with foreign nations or amongst each other. They can't do it. It's a violation of the Constitution. And, oh, by the way, that's been getting violated severely. Like all of these states that are signing on with this Paris Accord is a violation of Article 1, Section 10 and the Compact Clause, because that's considered the Compact Clause. The rights of the states under the Constitution in the 10th Amendment, and I'll finish reading, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited to it by the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. In other words, if it's not reserved by the states, then it is minimum. It is reserved by the people. Now, why do these two amendments exist? Because if one reads, and actually the 10th Amendment is actually almost verbatim from the Articles of Confederation. The 9th Amendment was added as an individual protection that was not in the Articles of Confederation. But I submit, my friends, that the 9th and 10th Amendments should be added to Article 1, Section 9, both of these should be added to Section 9, not Section 10, because Section 10 are the restrictions on the states, things that states can't do. Section 9 are further restrictions placed upon the federal government. And so, the 10th Amendment, there could be language change to the preamble of Article 1, Section 8, the delegation of powers, where they could easily state, and I think they need to, I think the Constitution needs to clearly state that these are the only listed powers other than constitutionally ratified amendments. And I really believe that you gotta start, looking at treaties as a different thing, because treaties cannot be necessarily laws that affect the people of the states. But the Constitution believes that when we create a treaty, and what are treaties? Treaties should be trade. treaties should not be something that affects the internal commerce, should not affect our internal rights, our internal operations. Treaties are made with other countries for military purposes, for commerce purposes, in trade and so forth. And so the fact is that we've got treaties with the UN that we are subjugating ourselves. It goes against the fundamental principles of our Constitution, and it goes against the Ninth and these Tenth Amendments, where all of a sudden they're saying, oh, well, we're going to limit the, you know, the sale of guns and these types of things. And I know I haven't gotten into that as well, because I know that's another thing that's creeping up, because what's going on in Virginia is this huge concept of, you know, they're going to start confiscating guns in Virginia. They don't have the constitutional right to do that, my friends. Virginia is violating the 14th Amendment. And this has been clearly determined in actual cases by Scalia. Scalia, I think it was Chicago and D.C. I forget the actual, Columbia. I forget the actual cases. I could pull them up. But bottom line is, they are violating the 14th Amendment. I will talk about that and then get back to these amendments right after this.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TALK-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Folks, I'm here to tell you that what's going on in Virginia is not strictly a Second Amendment issue or 14th Amendment issue, even though those are the huge protections to ensure that we have a secure and safe and free states in this republic. And that's because the militia and the role of the militia within the Constitution is the fundamental process of maintaining federal law. And we've perverted our concepts, and we've perverted the Constitution so badly that people don't even know that it is the militia that is supposed to be, you know, collecting and or at least enforcing the payment of taxes, and instead of the IRS. It is the militia that is supposed to be anything that is constitutional. In other words, the federal government does have the ability to collect taxes. And we even have that questionable amendment that allows them to collect individual taxes. And so the militia, if there's any reason for enforcement of federal law, per the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 15, Congress shall have the power to call forth the militia for the execution of law. And because people are so constitutionally illiterate and have been that way for years and years and years, they just ignore that. There has never been an amendment to grant powers to the federal government to allow them to assume the enforcements of whatever whimsical things they want to do. There was a reason why the framers put that particular mechanism that the militia must be the ones that enforce the federal law. There's a big reason for it, my friends. And that was because they feared a standing army. They feared that a centralized government capable of arming and equipping and militarizing itself to go against its citizenry was the pathway and portal to federal tyranny. And I'm here to tell you that the divine hand of providence understood. There was a reason why I wrote that article. You need to read the article on Reclaiming the Republic on the Constitutional Perspective page. If you are even bothered whatsoever at what's going on, this will actually spell out what the real problem is. And then you will understand the magnitude of the constitutional violation that is going on in Virginia, or that they're about to try to execute. And as far as I'm concerned, and I made this comment, and I'll continue to make this comment on air, off air, social media, whatever, Trump has the constitutional authority to arrest every congressperson who has failed to stand up against this invasion over our borders and have them removed from office and banned, because it is a responsibility within the Constitution, Article 4, Section 4, that they are to protect us from invasions and to call the militia in to do so. It is the militia's responsibility, not the Border Patrol's responsibility. Period. If you understand that the responsibility of the execution, even because our border controls and enforcement is a federal power delegated to the federal government. And I'm here to tell you that they have a Border Patrol and any other entity other than the militia on our borders is unconstitutional. Now, I'm here to tell you that all these people in the Border Patrol agency, they should be let go, and then they should be hired by the states to function as the Border Patrol folks. It's a militia responsibility, but now they'll be a part of the militia. Right now, everybody looks at the militia as a free, you know, volunteer force. And in some cases, it should be a volunteer force. But when you have such a threat that you have to put people out there, then there should be a compensation. And I just think you can easily translate those jobs and compensation benefits and everything else over to the states, but maybe not the retirement crap. You know, this government retirement that they're going to just put the yoke upon the citizens. Everybody should have an equal, what I believe are equal benefits. And I don't believe that people, just because you get a government job, means that you've got a golden parachute. You should have to, you know, contribute to your own retirement. And if you don't care about it and you want to, you know, be a spendthrift, or you want to be loose with your money, then okay. Then you're loose with your money. And when you get older, because you're not banking on getting older, you know, then you can worry about it then. But bottom line is, the federal government has no business operating ICE. It has no business operating the Border Patrol. It has no business doing anything in executing or enforcing law, because the Constitution dictates that is the militia's responsibility. You want to change that, and I highly recommend you don't even consider changing it. We want our own, we want ourselves. This is a self-citizenry government. The concept of our republic is a self-citizenry republic. We should be the ones that are accountable of enforcing our laws and making sure that our laws are harmonious to the Constitution. So what's going on, again, in Virginia is not just a violation of the Second Amendment and the 14th Amendment, more prominently the 14th Amendment, because it's the state doing this, not the federal government. So it's the 14th Amendment in violating our Bill of Rights, Second Amendment. But more importantly, what is going on is that they are looking at a wholesale level of disbanding and doing away with the U.S. Constitution. And so, friends, this is a much bigger issue, and I'm telling you that we're heading towards this Bolshevik revolution. And unless people start getting smart on the Constitution, as I say, please listen to these words. We must use the Constitution as our weapon and our defense. Because bottom line, if it's not by the rule of law, it is by tyranny. So we have to start getting constitutionally literate. That's why I am telling you, we need to start planting the seeds for Constitution Day. Coming up September 17th. Yeah, I know it's 9 months plus away. I'm here to tell you, my friends, 10 months away. I'm here to tell you, my friends, that we have very little time. But the Lord gave us everything we need right there within that document. You know, I talk to people, without mentioning the name, there's an individual that is, you know, pretty popular. He's, you know, carries a big stick, and, you know, he has this concept of, you know, I think I could write a better constitution, and I think I'd like to go down that path of giving us another constitution. It's very similar to some of these folks that are in the COS. I do believe that the Lord can, the divine hand of providence can inspire once again, but I think, you know, they don't inspire, something better. Nine times out of 10, what they've inspired is rock solid. The Ten Commandments still stand. It still stood in Christ's day, and it still stands today. Even though Christ simplified the concept, right? The greatest law is to love thy, you know, Father in heaven with all thy heart, I'm paraphrasing, and all thy might, instead of the first five commandments. And then the second, instead of the second five commandments, you know, love thy neighbors thyself. I mean, he just simplified them into two commandments. Well, but it didn't do away with, and as a matter of fact, he said that those laws are the laws, but he brought in a new concept of, instead of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, repentance and forgiveness. He brought in a higher law of allowing us a mechanism forward instead of killing somebody because they've committed adultery. He gave us a higher law of moving forward to being able to, you know, get straight any type of immorality or any type of problem that a person may have been, you know, entrapped with, or, you know, entrapped themselves with. Anyway, I don't want to get into the preaching. I'm sorry. It's easy to do when I start going down this path. And I was supposed to get back to the Ninth and Tenth Amendments. And so, and I'm looking, and I've got less than a minute, and I don't want to conclude the Ninth and Tenth Amendments and the Constitution with that. And oh, by the way, as a matter of fact, the other thing I wanted to bring up, because there's this Boise v. something, I forget, and I'll look it up during the break, because it's a big case over homelessness that the Supreme Court has passed on. And people are demanding that the Supreme Court review this. And conservatives are making a lot of political hay over this. And so I'm stepping in and I'm giving you some very important constitutional perspectives here as to why these things are not important. But more importantly, it's more important that we comply to the Constitution than, you know, reacting and doing knee-jerk reactions because we're always going to get bad judgments. We're always going to have bad judges. I'm sorry. They're infallible. They're people. But we have a much better system. It's called the Constitution. We will be back, and I'll tell you about that case, and then we'll close the Ninth and Tenth Amendments after these two promos. Thank you so much.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
So the case is Boise v. Martin. And this case is regarding homeless and the federal government. It's actually, and I'm not even going to get into the details of the case other than the constitutional details. This case went forth into the hands of the Ninth Circuit Court. And the Ninth Circuit Court has used judicial activism in throwing down our throats this concept of progressivism. And so if you want to shut down judicial activism, we have to stop inviting judicial oversight over issues they have no jurisdiction. What should happen is that the Supreme Court, Chief Justice Roberts, should come out and say that and reprimand the Ninth Circuit Court for even accepting the case and say, we're sorry, this is not a constitutional issue. This is clearly not an enumerated power. Therefore, we have no jurisdiction over this case. And so in the future, when a case over marriage comes forward, and when a case over abortion comes forward, anything that is not an enumerated power, such as those two cases, abortion, marriage, and I'm just going to use those, or this homelessness, there's three. The Supreme Court should step forth and reprimand any circuit court that has entertained and heard a case over something in the federal court system that is not within the jurisdiction of the federal government because it's not enumerated as a delegated power. Therefore, what the Supreme Court would then say is we reprimand the Ninth Court. They should not have done that. And, you know, that they make note of the individual justices who supported the hearing and so forth, and actually state that, you know, this is your first warning, that this is bad behavior by a federal judge in violating jurisdiction. This is how we remove them. And that's exactly what the Supreme Court Chief Justice should be doing. This is how we clean up judicial activism. We force compliance. Because bottom line, as John Marshall said, the courts should be calling these things null and void because they have no jurisdiction. Now, when it comes to a case like the Second Amendment and 14th Amendment case, like what's going on in Virginia, and if this boils up to Virginia, and they go into a federal court system that Virginia is violating the federal, you know, the rights and laws protected under the Constitution, then what should happen is the Supreme Court should then write an edict that says clearly Virginia is violating the Constitution as well as the spirit of the Constitution, because the militia and the right to bear arms cannot be infringed because they have a constitutional responsibility. Therefore, all political entities, whether they be state, county, anybody that is voting for the confiscation of weapons, must be removed from office and banned for life unless Congress removes that disability from them. And let me tell you this. Let me tell you, when they start doing this, we start enforcing the Constitution as God gave it to us, all our problems go away. When we start using the Constitution as our weapon and our shield, we win. We will win. With Republic Review, we will, excuse me, I'm losing my voice. With Republic Review, we will win. There's no doubt. And so, let me get back to the Ninth and Tenth Amendments, because these are, and I'm going to say this, that these should be integrated into the Constitution, that the amendment should not be a listed amendment, but it needs to be listed within Article 1, both of these, Ninth and Tenth Amendments, Article 1, Section 9, the restrictions placed upon the federal government. And as a matter of fact, I believe that there should be language to the beginning of Article 8 that clearly states that, you know, that the states have, these are the only delegated powers as well as the amendments. As I said before, there needs to be much better clarification so people completely understand this, because unfortunately, not a lot of people are willing to take the time to read the ratification debates to understand the Constitution and the terms of the contract, what the states debated and how they defined each of these clauses in each of these terms. That's why this is so important, my friends. That's why I am so confident that all we have to do is get the ball moving, get more people involved, and get more people to, you know, to take the few minutes. I get frustrated when I'm talking to people that are supposedly, you know, a spokesman out and a champion for liberty. And I'm having to deal with one particular really popular, did a actual nationwide tour this past summer, and was out, you know, talking about, you know, the threats of our Constitution and everything else. And I've been trying to get this person to, you know, understand Republic Review so they get on board with this. And I tell them, I said, you know, you're not a champion for liberty in the Constitution unless you actually take the time and prove whether this is right or wrong. Because I'm telling you, this is the only choice. This is our only path forward. And guess what? Constitution Party, the chair of Washington State's come right out and said, this is the process. The problem is getting people to stand up and champion it, because in some cases, people and organizations lose their relevance. people understand that if we make the problem go away, then they don't have a job anymore. And there's too many people that are evangelical constitutionalists. In other words, they've made a profession out of talking about the Constitution instead of doing what's necessary to preserve it. So in other words, it's not in their interest to preserve it and save it. It's in their interest to just talk about it so that they can give you great wit and, you know, great insight and offer you nothing other than take your money and make you feel good because, boy, this guy really, because you know, they talk really well. They're much slicker than GR here. I mean, these people bring in big dollars. I mean, they've got golden microphones. You know, they're called the Great One. There's a lot at stake here. And none of these folks want to lose that kind of income. Just think about it. If you were in a position where you all of a sudden was, you know, boom, given a whammy and the insights that this is, you know, this is something that will actually turn the world upside down. But you're not going to be able to make any money at it. Because as soon as, and I'm telling you, there can't be any money involved in this other than the political money and getting people right and so forth. This cannot be a career. This cannot be a mechanism for a person to, you know, build an enterprise with. Because as soon as you do, you've taken away your ability to solve the problem. Because now you are serving yourself instead of the concepts that the framers serve, the concepts of liberty in serving our posterity. This is what we have to do. And if you understand these things, then what's it going to take? You know, for the past year, I've been saying this. As a matter of fact, at the beginning of this year, I asked everybody, what is it going to take for you to get involved? I'm here telling you all of the facts. I'm giving you, go read these things for yourself. Prove me wrong. I have yet to have anybody prove me wrong on Facebook or any other way in a public forum. I've had people assert, and I deal with organizations like the John Birch Society, which completely obfuscate the facts, and they make these false accusations and these blind assertions. Instead of really dealing with the current process, they want to point to a snapshot in time and say, you didn't really think about all of these things. Well, it had to be perfect. I mean, you know, when that lump of coal hit the floor, it had to be perfect. It had to be a diamond. And I'm telling you that it went through some processes because GR's flawed. I mean, I've made some bad decisions and bad choices throughout my life, but this is not one of them. There is no doubt in my mind that the concepts were correct. The concepts in my book are correct, and the concepts moving forward are correct. And they are irrefutable. But that's why the John Birch Society doesn't deal with the facts. They just want to deal with obfuscating them and getting people to say, But my point is nobody's been able to refute these things. Nobody's been able to go through what I am saying and asserting and saying that the states cannot, they do not have this authority to do this, that the states would not be able to do this. Nobody wants to go there because as soon as they do, then they either expose themselves or they have to admit it. And when you're fighting for relevance like the John Birch Society, when you're out there fighting to get people to contribute and people to buy in, then I'm here to tell you that they have been sold and they've been compromised. We're not there. I'm not taking a penny. Any money that you want to give via our crowdfunding, any money that you want to contribute directly through PayPal or any way like that, that money strictly goes for paying for my travel and my cost in getting these things moving forward, our cost. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we'll be back. God bless.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.